Well, thank you, Tamara and music team and everyone making worship possible this morning by sharing your gifts and talents. We continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the Beatitudes, and we are in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. We're going to read it every week, so we sort of commit it to memory, at least to sort of a bit of memory. And this morning, we're looking at blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. This is Jesus on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the Beatitudes. This morning we're looking at blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn. Heard this story that I love about Albert Einstein, who, of course, is one of the smartest people ever to have lived and known to be somewhat absent-minded. But he got on a train one day in Princeton, New Jersey, headed for the Boston area. And of course, everyone recognized him, and the conductor came along looking for his train ticket. And Albert Einstein began to look in his jacket, in his pockets, in his briefcase, couldn't find his train ticket. And so the conductor said, "Don't worry, Dr. Einstein, we know who you are, it's fine." And so the train conductor continued walking through the cars and taking people's tickets, and he looked back, and Albert Einstein is on the floor looking around for the train ticket. And so he came back up to the good doctor and said, "Listen, Dr. Einstein, it's okay, we all know who you are, you don't need your ticket." And Albert Einstein replied, "I too know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going." And I suppose when we think about the Sermon on the Mount, and we think about being blessed, Jesus talking about being blessed, which also, as we said last week, means to be happy. It can even mean congratulations. But when we think about being blessed, and Jesus starts out by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn," we think maybe Jesus has lost his way, and maybe we have too. But I think if we walk up the mount with Jesus and begin to listen more deeply and to hear with our hearts, we can see a way, a path that Jesus has that will lift us higher and help us to be lights in the world. And so I invite you to walk up the mountain with Jesus this morning. So we think about blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, poor in spirit came from, obviously, to be poor at first. And so to be poor is to be in need. I think many times in our chapters of life, I've had chapters in my own life, whether in graduate school or where have you, where I really just didn't have much money at all. I could afford toothpaste one time. But I felt that God met my need and people met my need, and I was interconnected in a way that made me feel God's presence more. And it helped me do the thing that is really the one lesson throughout Scripture, which is to trust God more. Anyone besides me have trouble trusting God? I mean, that's what it's all about through all the chapters of life. And so we begin by acknowledging our need. And it's been pointed out there's a progression here that we'll be talking about as we go along. And so to be poor in spirit merely means to have the brokenness, the humility to be in need. And sometimes God has to force us to trust him in so many ways. It may be when we don't have money. It may be when we don't know the future path, but we learn to trust him, to be poor in spirit. And in that brokenness, God's work can begin to grow. Now, it won't be long until our farmers will be out in the field breaking up the ground. That's right, Gary's got his hand up. And when they break up the ground, it has to be broken up. Now, I know today it could be more technical. They can just sort of shoot a seed in the ground, but it's still broken. And then later on, they go and they break it up some more. You need that brokenness. If the ground is hard, the seed cannot grow. The roots cannot grow. And so there's a way that we become poor in spirit. We recognize our need, and in that brokenness, we're able to grow. And that's the foundational truth of all of this. Now, one of my daughter and I's new favorite shows is Cobra Kai. So I don't know if anyone else out there is a Cobra Kai fan. And so if you're not in on this yet, let me just tell you, Cobra Kai is the Karate Kid 20 years later. So any Karate Kid fans out there, does that bring you? I hope you saw. You need to do that. You need to go back and see that. So we've done that. We had, because Savannah didn't know what Karate Kid was, so we had to go back. And it's interesting because now these two martial artists that were competing against each other are like 20 years old, and now they have kids going through the same thing. And it's like they've switched places. It's really interesting, the whole storyline. But one of the things it goes back to is the kind of the foundational truth. Do you remember in The Karate Kid when this young man wanted to learn karate? And so he goes to the, you know, this master, this kind of Zen master in karate, and Mr. Miyagi, and a great guy. And so he's really wants to learn, and so he has him painting the fence. You remember that? He's painting the fence. And then he has him wax all his cars in his lot, and the whole thing was, you know, you got to wax on and wax off. You remember this? Wax on and wax off. And they have these chapters like this. And he was just so upset because he wanted to learn karate, and he was doing waxing cars, wax on, wax off. And the karate master would come over, and he would say, no, you need to do exactly like this, exactly wax on and exactly wax off. And after days of doing this, you know, he kind of comes to him in frustration. And then finally, this karate master, he says, okay, he says, now defend yourself when I hit you. And so he hits him, and he goes, wax on. And he was able to do that. And then he goes, hits him with the other hand. He goes, wax off. And so he does this. And so the whole thing was this with your sensei is that you have to be humble in order to learn. If you don't listen, even though you don't always understand, you'll never learn. And so the first thing is to get your spirit in the right way where you are broken and you're willing to say, I don't know it all. I need to learn from you, even though I don't kind of understand the wax on and wax off thing. Down the road, it will pay dividends. Well, I don't know that Jesus is quite the Kung Fu master. Maybe he is the greatest Zen master of all time on the Mount today. But Jesus is saying the first foundation, fundamental truth is to be poor in spirit, to have that kind of brokenness where you're able to say, I don't know everything, right? I need to look to you. I need to learn to trust you, which is the whole truth that goes from the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, to learn to trust. And the season of Lent is really about learning to trust God. We sort of push aside some other things. We need to fast and, you know, give up some things. We need to pray and we need to give, but it's about learning to trust God along the way. Jesus himself needed to learn to trust ever deeper along the journey to the cross. And so Jesus is lifting us up and pointing us upward, saying that we need to be poor in spirit. We need to learn to trust God. And even Paul the Apostle, writing to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2, said, have the same spirit that's in Christ, who even though he was the creator of the universe, emptied himself of all this to come in humility and take on our flesh and our humanity, our brokenness, and to show us the way of love and show us the way to the cross and love and forgiveness and grace. And then the power of the resurrection. Today, in this journey to the cross and ultimately to Easter, where are you in your trust life? Where are you today in your trust life? And what do you need to trust? Maybe what we need to do is just have more of a brokenness, of being poor in spirit. And I know that later we get to baptize Fletcher, Robert, and here's the special thing. I left you hanging on this, but Dad is getting baptized too, and Mom is going to affirm her baptism. Always a kind of a family thing. And as parents, we teach our kids, right? We don't know everything. My daughter can tell you that. But our kids need to be in a place where they can learn, right? And so that's a lesson you'll be teaching along the way to Fletcher, Robert, and every parent knows that. But it's also a way of sharing life. And so to be poor in spirit is blessed. And we are blessed that we can be a blessing to others. And the second thing I think is an even harder truth is blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Well, I don't know how blessed it is to be mourned, because it can be a blessing, but what I do know is it is a blessing to be comforted by the peace and power of the Holy Spirit. And there are chapters in life where we mourn, and we've had a number of folks we've lost in our church family, and the chapters of grief and losing a person is a heartbreaking and heart-wrenching chapter of life. But I think in that moment when we are missing our loved ones, sometimes God's presence comes to us in a special way. The word paraclete, which is a word that we often translate as the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit, but there's different words for it, and that's the primary one. Parakaleo means like parenthesis and parabola to wrap around, and so God's Spirit comes and wraps arms of love and strength around us in our moment of mourning and grief, and God is there in comfort and power and presence and love and peace in a special way. One of my favorite moments in the Gospel of John, and other places too, but especially in the Gospel of John, there's Mary and Martha who have lost their brother Lazarus, and Jesus was delayed in coming there. Like we often believe that Jesus is delayed, and Jesus comes finally, and one sister meets Jesus, and then the other. And one is grieving by running to Jesus, the other is kind of grieving by being alone and quiet. And Jesus embraces them both, and Jesus, before he raises Lazarus from the dead, embraces them and weeps in that moment. And the shortest verse in the Bible, and probably the most powerful, is Jesus wept. Those two words, Jesus wept. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus, but Jesus didn't jump forward. He embraced Mary and Martha in that moment and shared their tears and grief. And I think in that moment, it was important for them to know that Jesus loved them even when they were shedding tears and their hearts were broken, so Jesus would be there in the resurrection, an easier moment. But I think John thought it was important to record that moment because all of us think at times in our life that Jesus is delayed in answering a prayer. And Jesus doesn't answer it the way we think Jesus ought to answer it. But the other thing is that John, as he's writing this gospel, the last of the gospels to be written, John is the only disciple to have lived late into life, into his 90s. Probably a number of the disciples had died. Certainly a number of the founders of the early church had died. Many of them were martyrs. And John knew what it was to lose loved ones. I think John shows us that picture so that we know that in that chapter between Jesus embracing us and the resurrection, that Jesus is sharing our tears with us, that Jesus weeps when we weep. And so John shares that beautiful and powerful moment because all of us await the resurrection, even as Lazarus was going to come forth from the dead and from that cave and from the bonds of death. Jesus and John knew that we needed to be reminded of that moment. But in the interim, Jesus embraces us as we ourselves are crying. I don't know who you've lost in the past. This pandemic has taken so many of our loved ones and broken our hearts in so many ways. But know that Jesus wept and Jesus continues to weep with us. Jesus continues to embrace us with arms of strength and love. And I think that's powerful. There is a metaphorical thing there, too, that people have pointed out, that there's a sense in which when we understand that we're poor in spirit, which means that we are in need and we are broken, mourning means that we need something, that we are broken. And in that broken moment, we can expect God to do amazing things and we can feel God's comfort in a powerful and tangible way. Jesus was also the embodiment of all the Beatitudes. And as Jesus was speaking, we see all those qualities in Jesus. that Jesus was poor in spirit, had an incredible spirit of humility. And Jesus wept, of course, when Lazarus passed away. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus will embody each of these in this moment throughout his life and his road to the cross, so we know that Jesus walks with us today in our journey to Lent and ultimately to Easter. Where are you on your journey of faith? Whether you're facing real poverty or not, Jesus is there. But we all have need. We all are broken, and we need to acknowledge that need so we can learn and we can grow. We will all have chapters of life where we will mourn the loss of a loved one, but rest assured that Jesus is there. Jesus weeps when we weep, and Jesus rejoices when we rejoice, and we can rejoice in that. I'd like to close with a prayer from a soldier in the Civil War, which I think demonstrates this truth in a beautiful and powerful way. And we don't know the name of the soldier. It was found in the Civil War, but I want to share it with you. And this is the prayer. I ask for God's strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we catch a glimpse of you on the mountaintop, and you invite us up to the Mount of the Beatitudes. It's also a mount where we learn to shine our lights because of your light shining in us, that we can be a light unto the world. And so, Lord, today, help us to be humble and broken and to acknowledge our need and learn to trust you that we might grow in trust. Help us as we sometimes face a chapter of mourning and grieving and loss in life to know that your presence is with us in a peace that transcends all understanding. And help us to know that your arms of love and grace wrap around us with strength, and that you weep with us, even as you wept with Mary and Martha before you raised Lazarus from the dead. Lord, help us to know that this journey of faith is indeed a journey, but it is not a journey that we travel alone. You are with us. You are present with us. You have a plan of purpose for our lives. Your presence is here, and you bless us that we might be a blessing to others. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said,